Hello, and thank you for tuning to Fire and Rain Ministries, where fire purges and rain washes. Today, we have an exciting word to share with you from Apostle Allison J. Cross, and we know that you will be encouraged by what you hear. So sit back and relax, and remember, she has a word for you from the Word.
I'll have that tea over there, Apostle Christmas. Yes. Okay. Let's go ahead and get started. Apostle Ron, if you want to go ahead and open us up with prayer.
Yes, be glad to. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your loving kindness. For the scripture says that your mercies are new every morning. We thank you for this gathering of your leaders, of your sons, both male and female, in a place that you have called and chosen for such a time as this. We thank you for the word and revelation. We thank you for the impartation. We thank you for the divine wisdom and counsel, even now and in this hour. We ask that you cover the speaker, cover her with your grace and your power, your mercy and your love, and give her ongoing insight to release the engrafted word with meekness that is able to save our souls. Cultivate us, Father. Impart into us, Father. Open up and expand our understanding that our territory may be enlarged, Father, even in this hour. And Father, let us be strong in unison. Let us be strong in faith. And even those that who are not able to attend today, let this be a blessing to them as they receive according to your will and your purpose. And we thank you for the release today and the fruit as a result of it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so be it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I'm excited. This is School of the Prophets. I'm so glad you guys are here. One thing I love to do is I love to teach the word. It excites me. It is what gets me going in the morning. The word of God. Amen. So today, you know, we are starting on chapter 2, but I want to take a little detour and define what is a prophet. This is a school of prophets. And so we definitely want to define it. So let's go there. What is a prophet? And when you look in the scriptures in the term of a prophet, the word is translated prophet in our English Bible, but in the Hebrew, it's Nabi, N-A-B-I. And if you look in the Bible, it occurs 400 times as a noun in the Old Testament. A verb with the same root occurrence occurs 110 times in the Old Testament. Now, one of the things about when you look at a prophet, some definitions, when you talk about the prophetic ministry or the prophetic utterances, it means to boil up like a fountain or to bubble up, things like that. That's kind of like it just comes out, you know. Now, one thing I will say about that is even though that word is bubbling up and coming forth, we do have control. Some people say, I was just out of control and I couldn't help it. You can control what comes out of your mouth. You can control. And so even when we're prophesying or giving a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, a prophetic utterance, if God stops us in the middle of that word and say, stop right there, that's what we're to do. And so I want to make sure that we all know that we do have control because God is a God of order, right? So he's not going to have a bunch of out of control prophets running around, you know, speaking what they want to speak. He controls us, you know, if we let him. And so when you look, it's prophets are in the both Old and the New Testament as well. And also when you talk about a prophet, the definition, it also means to bring forward or to announce, okay? Bring forward or to announce. And a lot of times, you know, an unseasoned prophet may have a tendency, if they're not walking closely with someone that's seasoned and doing, has been in it for a while, they may run the risk of getting over into the wrong realm of the spirit.
Amen.
And so we have to know, we have to help those that are novices that are coming up in the ministry, especially as prophets. We have to let them, help them know this is of God, this is not of God, because guess what? They're learning. They're just learning, and it's up to us as seasoned individuals to help them learn. So help them to bring forth, to announce. Announce what? The word of the Lord. Not our intent, not our word, not what we think, but the word of the Lord.
Amen.
And a prophet is going to always announce what thus saith the Lord, and it's always going to line up with the scripture, like we talked about last week with Daniel. You know, he was awesome. Because, you know, when I was reading about him and I was going back meditating on the word, I said, Lord, I want to be able to be, you know, not Daniel, but have the same type of spirit, to where if God said he's going to protect me, I'm protected. Throw me where you will. My friends, you know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they were protected. Throw them all in there, because God is going to protect you. And see, he knew that God was going to do it. He didn't have a doubt in his mind. Mm-hmm. He didn't have that unbelief going on. You know, like in the New Testament, it's like, you know, God help my unbelief. And, you know, so my prayer is, God, get all the unbelief out of me. Get it all out. And the only way that we can get the unbelief out of us is we saturate ourselves in the word of God. We have to be saturated in the word. We have to stay in his presence. In order to bring forth the word of the Lord in purity, we have to come from a pure place. Can't be a bunch of junk going on in our spirit. It has to be from a pure place, because what will happen is you'll begin to speak what you think the Lord is saying. If it's not coming from a pure place, it'll be contaminated. That's the opposite of pure, is contamination. And so then you have a lot of people giving out contaminated words, and then it don't bring forth. And then it doesn't edify. It doesn't build up. That's what we're to do. We're to edify and build up. And a lot of times, you know, you get some people that call themselves prophets. They are prophets of doom and gloom. And, you know, there is time when the Lord says, judge that righteously according to the word. But he's not saying send everybody to hell in a handbasket because they messed up. We all have fallen, sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All right. And then so another thing that a prophet does is they have a uniform teaching of the Bible according to what the word is saying, and not mixing scripture with other stuff. We don't take the word of God and we don't mix it with science and, you know, all those different types of things. We only say what thus saith the Lord according to his word. And guess what? If it's not lined up with that word, guess what we need to do with it? We need to get rid of it. Amen. Get rid of it. And many people, now I'm not knocking, if the Lord gives you a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or what have you, about someone's getting a new car, getting a new home, being financially blessed, your health is increasing. I'm not knocking that. But if you are a prophet of God and that's your main thrust, that you're only going to be prophesying cars, land, houses, materialistic things, and you never talk about the things of the kingdom, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. See, that's where the balance of the prophetic ministry comes in. There are many times that God will tell you to call forth those things that I promised them. And there's going to be many times when we need to call forth the spirit, you know, we need to call forth correction. We need to call forth increase, spiritual increase. So there's a balance in the ministry of the prophet. And that's one of the things that we really have to delve into. You know what? I'm not going to be on one end of the spectrum all the time. Sometimes I see prophets, some that I know, some that I don't know. They stay on one end of the spectrum and there's no balance there. You know, there's no balance. And so we have to have balance. Now, another thing is when we're looking at prophets and the biblical definitions and according to the scripture, a prophet also was a spokesman, right? For another person. If you look at who was Aaron? Aaron was to be Moses's prophet. And you can find that in Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. You know, Moses, you know, he had a problem speaking. He probably was self-conscious. He probably was, you know, while he was growing up, maybe he was ridiculed and picked at in about the way he talked or spoke. And, you know, that could be some of us. Maybe some people grew up and they weren't eloquent of speech. And even Apostle Paul said, you know, hey, I don't come to you speaking eloquently. I come to you with the power and demonstration. So no matter what's going on. If you feel like you don't speak eloquently enough, or you don't fit in with the rest of the people, that's okay. You don't have to fit in. The only place we need to really fit in is within the kingdom, okay?
Amen.
Fit in the kingdom of God. Okay, and then, so Aaron was Moses' prophet, okay? And then also, Aaron said, it was said in Exodus 4:16, so he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be a mouth for you. Now, just think about that for a moment. What are we? We are a mouthpiece for God, right? You're a spokesman in the earth for God. And so we want to always make sure that we take care of that and, you know, in the right way. So also as a spokesman for God, when you look at Deuteronomy 18, 19 through 22, God would raise up a prophet and put his word in his mouth, and the prophet would then speak in the name of God. God, now, what did I just say? God would raise up a prophet.
Amen.
God raises up the prophets. Now, he has people that will oversee and help us, but God is the one that calls you. God is the one that sanctifies us and puts us where we need to be, especially in ministry. You know, and that's why you cannot allow people to, once God has confirmed who you are, and not only told you, but he'll tell other people.
Yeah.
You know, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And if God has called you, he will establish you and he will confirm your calling as well. Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely confirm your calling. And so that's one of the things that we have to also keep in mind for those of you that are new to it. Don't jump in and try to run ahead because someone didn't confirm you.
Right.
On God. Don't be rebellious. You know, don't say, well, you know what? I know what God told me and I'm going to do this. Zoom. Mm-mm. Wait on God. Because he has to raise you up. I'm going to say that again. God has to raise up a prophet in balance, in order, in the scripture. Okay. And so that's some of the things that we want to do. We want to make sure that we are allowing God to groom us in the way that we need to be groomed. And also, God revealed his will through the prophets. God wants to reveal his will through you. He revealed his will through the prophets in the Old Testament. And you can find that in Hebrews 1:1. And then also, when you look at a prophet is also an ambassador sent to make known the will and the purpose of God, okay? And so we want to, and looking at that, if you look at Amos chapter 3, and I love Amos. Amos, he was just something else. Amos chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, and what was happening there, he was chosen, he was speaking to God's chosen people. It was under the old law of Israel, but he was speaking to the people. Everybody says, speak to the people.
Speak to the people.
And we can't be afraid. We can't be afraid to speak to the people because, you know, there's a scripture, and I don't have it right now, but it says, don't be afraid of their faces.
Right.
Don't be afraid of the faces of men. See, men will try to intimidate you out of your calling.
Yeah.
Literally, will try to intimidate you out of your calling, but you can't, just because somebody looking at you with a scowl on their face, or they may not be receiving the word of the Lord that God gave you, don't worry about that. Just do what God said and keep it moving. Amen. Don't be afraid of the faces of men. And then also, when God was speaking through as a spokesman to his people, he will cause, some of the prophets were speaking to other nations. They spoke to whole nations. Look at Jonah. Oh my goodness. can somebody read Jonah 1:1-2? If someone can get that for me. Jonah 1:1-2.
I can read it for you, Pastor.
Go ahead.
Jonah 1:1-2. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And so when you look at that, God sent Jonah to a whole nation, to a city, to announce what was about to happen. So he wants to send us to other nations. He wants to send us to places. Are we ready for it? Are we ready for it? I think I got some background noise going on.
That's Veronica.
Veronica.
Okay, one second.
Mute it. There you go. There you go, baby girl.
All right. Okay, and so, yeah, so we want to make sure that when God is sending us, we don't have a, what happened with Jonah? He was upset. He didn't want them to repent. Now, he's a prophet called to God, but he didn't want them to repent, most likely because of everything that was going on in Nineveh. They was tripping, you know, just to bring it into the, you know, out of the religious vernacular, they were tripping. They were a hot mess. And Jonah was mad, and he was like, I don't want you to save them. I want you to destroy them. Get rid of them. Wipe them off the map. But God had a plan. God had a plan for them. Amen?
Amen.
He wanted to save the city. He wanted to save the nation. Even though they were doing all type of foolishness and wickedness, God still wanted to save them. And see, that's the type of heart that, as a prophet, that you must have, knowing that Jesus died for everybody, not just the pretty people, not just the people that got in a little bit of sin. He died for the people that got into big sin too. Mm-hmm. And when we look at the Bible, sin is really sin. If you lie, you murder.
It's sin.
Same thing, sin is sin, you know? And so Jesus died for everybody. And as a prophet, we can't pick and choose who we want to minister to. We cannot pick and choose who we want God to save. Amen. Yeah. But Lord, save them, but don't save them because they just went and did some monstrosities to everybody. They're not worth saving. Yeah, Jesus didn't see it that way. So as prophets, we have to see through the eyes of Christ.
Amen.
We have to see through the eyes of God. We can't be sitting up judging people unrighteously because of what they did and saying they deserve hell. You know, Amen. Sometimes people can do something so bad, so atrocious that our human flesh would say they need to go straight to you know where. Mm-hmm. But no, God, he sent his son for everybody.
Amen.
Yeah. And so not to get too far, you know, off the subject, but yeah, we have to, as prophets, we have to make sure that we are seeing through the eyes of Christ.
Amen.
We're judging according to the word of God. Amen. Now, I know some people said, well, some people were just born, like, you know, Judas, he was born to do what he did. That's between him and God. Yeah, I'm not going to touch that too much. But, you know, so we just want to make sure that as we go forth as prophets of God, as mouthpieces of God, that we do it in order, in decency, in balance. Not all off on one end of the spectrum. Now you can't, another thing I want to say to prophets is you can't just sit up there and be prophesying all day long and you don't ever teach anything. You can't do that. You cannot do that because you will raise up a bunch of unbalanced, out of order, no word in their spirit people that think everything they hear, they just have to prophesy to you. Don't prophesy to me.
Right?
Let the word prophesy to me. Mm-hmm. I would submit that. Let the word be your prophet. if you have itching ears for a prophet, the first thing you need to do is allow the word to be your prophet. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's good right there.
That's good.
If your ears is itching, until you get in order, until you get in balance, let the word speak to you. Let the word speak, because that's what's going to help. That's what's going to groom us for ministry. And so prophets were an ambassador. They went to other nations. And more than a foreteller, prophets were foretellers. Mm-hmm. Foretold what God said. Amen. You know, I don't want to get right into how it is with divination and witchcraft and all that, but we're going to talk a little bit about that later on in the course. But it's important that as we move forward in God, that we're really hearing what he's saying. And we're, if he gives us a word about the future, we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna release it. But if he ain't saying nothing, don't make up nothing, because people will try to put pressure on you to prophesy. They will try to put on you to, I need
your word.
Like, give me my word. Guess what I did? Here you go. Between N and amen, you got a lot of word. You're not going to use me like that. I'm not prostituting the gift that God has given because you feel like you need to get a word from me. No, you need to get your word from God. Now, when I speak to you, what the Lord told you will be confirmed through the mouth of the prophet. The confirmation will come. But you have to be careful, and we have to be very careful of this, that we are not being pulled on because we're prophetic or because we're prophets. People will do it all day long. We'll wear you out. And then when they can't wear you out, they'll go wear somebody else out. Been there, done that. In my early days of ministry, prophesying to people, well, the Lord is saying this, the Lord is saying that. And one day the Lord said, let them get in my presence. Let them get in my presence. I said, okay, I'm done. All right. And so another thing, other terms that are used for prophets, a seer, 1 Samuel 9:9, a seer. Okay. A seer is one who sees. God gives a vision which a prophet sees and speaks. Sometimes I close my eyes and I see stuff. Mm-hmm. I see people. I see different areas of the city. I may see, you know, objects. And God, you know, one today I was actually sitting at my desk here and I was thinking, and I just closed my eyes and I saw this lady's face, and she was pointing her finger really like she was pointing at somebody. I said, oh, she's angry. She's about to stir up some trouble somewhere. God will allow us to see things. Does he allow us to see things in order to say that we saw it? No. Just to brag about it? No. When God shows us things, 9 times out of 10, it is in order for us to pray about it and see what we need to do. There may be a petition of prayer. God may want us to pray about something that's going on. God bless you, Pastor Cox. There may be something that's going on, you know, that God wants us to address in the spirit.
Yeah.
Not so much in the natural. Because if you think that every time God gives you a word or showed you something that you need to address it immediately, that's out of order and that's not balanced. Now, there will be times when the Lord says, I want you to address this. And then we are to. But we need to wait before we address it to see how God wants us to address the issue. Amen? Amen. We really do. Because if we don't, I'm going to tell you, it will be very easy to get into wildfire, to get into things that we should not be getting into in the realm of the spirit. And if we are not, if we are not mature, mm-hmm. then we definitely need someone that is assisting us in ministry to know if we need to release that word. Releasing Amen. Words will set things in motion prematurely.
Come on.
And if you are a prophet of God and you have the, you know, we have the ability, you know, the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue, but we're specifically talking about prophets today. If you are out here, you hear something, you release it, you're not only releasing the word, you are releasing the dynamics for those things to start happening. So we have to be careful. Everything that we initially see or hear or, you know, or get a word from the Lord, we need to put that on the altar and say, God, when do you want me to release it? What happened with Nehemiah? Nehemiah, he prayed, what, for 60 or 90 days or something like that. After he got the burden from the Lord, the Lord gave him the burden. He fasted, he prayed, and he waited before he even went to the king, Artaxerxes, to tell the king what his burden was about. Remember, he went to the presence of the king. He was all sad and tore up. And the king says, why are you, you know, downcast? Why are you all sad? When you support, now, when you went to the presence of the king, if you weren't happy, you could get your head cut off. You could literally get killed because it was supposed to be such an honor back then to be in the presence of a king, that you had no reason to be in my presence upset.
Right.
You were supposed to be overjoyed. So what did Nehemiah do? See, he waited. He wanted instruction, and that's what we need to do. God gives us a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. We can get the instruction on how we need to deliver that word, how we need to bring it forth. It may even be God says, I don't want you to say nothing. I want you to pray it into existence.
Amen.
But are we disciplined enough in our spirit that we don't say everything we hear? We don't say everything we see. Prophets were, you know, they were called seers. They were called man of God, man of the spirit. If you look in calling man of God, that's 1 Samuel 9:6, 1 Kings 17:18. Prophet was also called a man of the spirit in Hosea 9:7, a servant of God or Jehovah, that's in Chronicles, a messenger of Jehovah. So it's a lot of different terminologies that was used. A prophet was also in Ezekiel called a watchman. So when we look at these, another thing I don't want you to get caught up on is your type. Don't get caught up on that. Don't get caught up on, I'm a prophet and you're going to address me as such. No, don't get caught up on that. Because if you get caught up on that, you'll miss it. Because I'm going to tell you what, that's an entryway to the enemy getting in and putting this plant in the seed of pride.
Amen.
And we all know what happened with Lucifer when he was looking at himself. Look at me. I'm up here. I'm the head honcho. I'm up here doing what I need to do with the choir. And I'm at the top and I need to be at the very top. He was lifted up in pride and got slammed, kicked out. He hit the ground hard, didn't he? Boom.
Very.
Yes, he did.
It hit the ground hard. And see, that's what something that we don't want to do. We don't want to end up in a situation where we end up getting cast down.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody say, I will not.
I will not.
Be cast down.
Be cast down.
I'm going to stay humble before the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Stay humble before the Lord.
Because you know what? The Bible says if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God in due season, he will lift us up, right? He'll exalt us.
Right.
But if we don't humble ourselves and we exalt ourselves, then we got a fall coming.
Yes.
We got a fall in destruction.
I promise.
That is messed up. Now, what are some of the basic principles in understanding the role of a prophet? The prophet is a person who is moved by the Holy Spirit. Can't emphasize that enough. A prophet is one that is moved by the Holy Spirit. Let me pull up my scripture right quick. You know, I had all my stuff was ready on my tablet. And then when I looked at my tablet, the charge was gone. So bear with me. Bear with me. I'm going to pull up 2 Peter 1:20. 2 Peter 1:20. And I need that in King James. Here we go. And I need 21 as well. Okay, now 2 Peter 1:20-21 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. You know, we could preach that right there, couldn't we?
Yes.
It's not for private interpretation. Okay.
Right.
And it goes on to say, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's something, I mean, we could do a whole class on the fact that prophecy is not of any private interpretation. And what that means is that we hear something and we interpret it according to what we think it is in our own flesh, in our own heart. You go in the book of Jeremiah and it talks about how, you know, some of the prophets in there, they were saying stuff that God didn't say. They were prophesying out of the intent of their own heart. and things like that. And that something is a prophet, the intent of our heart needs to be the perfect will of God. Amen. The perfect will of God. Prophets cannot introduce strange religions. We're not going to be introducing off stuff, strange religions. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 13, 1 through 5. Let's see. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. And I'm going to read that. Okay, Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5 says, and if there arise among you a prophet, a dreamer of dreams, that giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and that sign or wonder comes to pass, wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let's go up after other gods which thou hast not known and serve them. What was he doing? He was trying to introduce. They were saying here, if a prophet comes to you and they start saying, well, let's go after other gods, other religions, other stuff that may seem right unto a man, but in a way, what? It will bring destruction. Because the moment a person starts going after other things and other gods and other ways of doing things or trying to skirt around what God is saying, you better believe that's an issue. That's a fall. That's a fall coming. And it goes on in verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, nor that dreamer of dreams. So what is that saying? Dreamer of dreams? You mean to tell me that there can be dreams given by the devil? Yes. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Now, verse 5. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Now, you notice it said that prophet.
That prophet.
Yeah.
That prophet. That super prophet that is trying to get a person to go outside of what the word of God is saying, is trying to get a person to go after, you know, different signs and, you know, lying wonders. That prophet. And guess what? We don't want to be that prophet, do we?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We don't want to be that prophet. So I'm going to read again. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord has commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou be put the evil away from the midst of thee. Now, we know that Jesus came and there is, you know, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness. But I'm reiterating this because there are prophets out there that are not prophets of God. They are the prophets of the devil. They're speaking on behalf of the devil. And they will try to get you to go in another way to turn from God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look at where God has brought us from, it was like an Egypt, wasn't it?
Yes.
To Christ, it was like Egypt.
Yes.
We were doing what we wanted to do, saying what we wanted to say, going where we wanted to go, drinking, you know, smoking, whatever, those that did it. I mean, all type of stuff. But see, God brought us out. But the job and the thrust of the false prophet or the prophet gone wild or the prophet that's just out to do their own thing or prophets of the devil is to turn people away from the Lord, turn people away from the actual scripture. And that's something that we want to make sure that we are aware of, because I'm going to check your doctrine.
Yes.
I'm going to check you. I'm going to see if what you are saying to me is truly lining up with the word of God. And if it ain't, guess what? Either you getting saved or you getting out of here.
Yeah.
There is no middle ground. We can't allow there to be middle ground. We, straddling the fence. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We cannot allow prophets of the devil, prophets gone wild, to get in our ear and begin to sway us in another direction. Because it's working for them, because they got all this money, they got all this stuff, and then where you think they got the stuff? Where you think they got the stuff? But see, if we're not rooted and grounded in God and in his word, we'll think that stuff makes them holy. Mm-hmm. And it does not. They just got some stuff. And at the end of the day, I would rather be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever in blissful eternity, instead of the place that was not created with for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather be with him. You know, I just want to throw this in here. You know, why is it that every time someone passed away, everybody went to heaven?
Come on.
You know, but I'm going to say this. They partially right. You know why I say that? Because you're going to stand with him for a moment.
Understand, yeah.
You will be there. You will be in his presence for a minute. And then, you know, after that, the judgment. So maybe they just took it, you know, too far or something. But anyway, I just want to throw that in there. So, but see, our job is prophets of the Most High God. Most High, Most High. Why do I keep saying Most High? Because he's above every other God. He's above everything. We are prophets. We are servants of the Most High God. And anything that he says he needs of us, we're to give it to him. We're to give it to him. We're to give it all to God without murmuring, without complaining, without saying, Lord, why me? Why not you? Lord, why I gotta suffer? Why not? He suffered. He showed us how to go through suffering.
Jesus.
Lord, why I gotta fast? He fasted.
Because he fasted.
He attempted, he hungered. Why? See, one thing about as a prophet, everything that Jesus did, he showed us how to do it. He did it by example. He led by example. And if we are going to raise up a company of prophets that are going to be truly, truly impactful, and I'm going to say infectious to this infected generation, we got to lead by example. Mm-hmm. And when I say infectious, there ought to be so much God in us, it starts infecting you with God. Amen. There ought to be so much of God in us. If God be for you, prophets, who can be against you?
Amen.
Doubting yourself, number one. I just heard that. Stop doubting who you are in the kingdom. Don't let anyone discourage you or tell you, you know what, you too young. Who they tell that to? You too young. You don't need to be speaking. You only okay. I may be young in the spirit, but I'm willing to learn. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to sit under someone and get that mentorship so I can understand and perceive and interpret the scripture correctly. But senior prophets, if you have not interpreted the scriptures correctly, leave it alone.
Yep.
Let somebody else do it. Because we don't want to mess people up. Amen. We don't. It is not our heart to mess people up. And guess what? It's okay if you don't know something to say you don't know. Pride will have you thinking you know everything.
That's it.
I've called my pastor and asked questions. I said, you know what? I don't know. What is this? What does this mean? Nothing wrong with it. The only one that knows every single thing is God. Is right. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. That's it. So, in the time that you are being raised up as a prophet or you are a senior prophet, and I know senior prophet ain't in the Bible, so I'm not getting, you know, out there. I'm just saying those that are mature. That's what I mean by that. And a lot of times you'll hear me stop and break something down because I don't want anything to be misinterpreted of what I'm saying. Because as we're talking, we're going back from scripture, and then I'll talk and go to scripture. And I don't want you to think that senior prophet is in, you know, the Bible. Okay. So I just want to make that clear. All right. And so prophets we're not going to introduce you to a strange religion. We don't do that. We're not going to introduce you to a new law, to a new Bible. You let somebody come up to me if they want to, talking about, that's not the Holy Bible. This is, and it's a whole nother something else. I'm not taking it. I'm not even touching it. I don't want that in my spirit. So you have to be careful, prophets of God, as you are being raised up, that you don't begin to include other religions and what seems to be right into the scripture that you're reading. It's a lot of people out there, they sound right. They sound right. They sound good. But if they're not lining up with the word of God, if what they're teaching is not lining up with the word of God, you need to leave it alone. You need to leave alone all the extra biblical material. You know, a lot of people say, well, I can read extra biblical material, the book of this, the book of that, and this, that, and the other, because, you know, there's reference to it. Guess what? God is sovereign, right? He has control over everything. Do you agree?
Amen.
So if God wanted those other books in the Bible, they would have been canonized and put in there. Correct?
Correct.
And there would have been nothing that man could have done or did, whichever, you know, to make it not be in the Bible. Because he is in full control. So don't go out looking for extra biblical material to read it, to say, see, I'm going to read this because I heard somebody say this or that or this or that. Don't do it, because what's going to happen is you're going to get confused. Because there's something in the extra biblical material, and I haven't read any of it, but I'm sure there's something in that material that will cause you to take a thought that you shouldn't take and begin to investigate that thought. And then it gets you all down a whole rabbit hole of a whole nother doctrine. And then you'll begin to open up your mind and your spirit to a whole nother doctrine. It's really serious that we don't do that. Now, for those of you who want to go ahead and do it, hey, that's your business.
That's
your business. And that's between you and God. I'm just giving you what the Lord told me to give you, is leave the extra biblical material alone and stick with the word. Guess what? It is so much in here that we don't even know yet. Come on. It's so much revelation in the word that we have not even tapped into yet. Why go get something else and try to tap into that? If you have not tapped into every revelation knowledge between in and amen, don't go nowhere else until you got
it.
Don't. Just don't. Okay? So another thing is, so we know that the prophet is moved by the Holy Spirit. We're not going to be introducing strange religions and new laws. And, you know, another thing is, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it was the prophet's function to call people back to the law that was given by Moses, right? What are we called to do? We're not under the law. We know that. But we are called to call people back to the Father, to Christ.
Amen.
We have the anointing to do that. When we get more in depth into prophets in the Old Testament, their main thrust was to get people back where they need to be in God. Why is it that the prophets of today are so off, far off from that mandate? Why? Hear me?
They're not aligned.
It's all about self.
Yeah. You want to be, you know, I want you to see who I am. Look at me. I want you to be attached to me. These are my people. No, these are God's people. I want you to hear what I'm saying. No, we're going to hear what thus saith the Lord. Amen. So that's something that we want to do. We want to make sure that, you know, we're doing what God has called us to do. Now, a true prophet is one whose words come to pass.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you this. It doesn't, some people get it twisted when they think that because that word didn't come to pass in 7 days, you a false prophet. Not so. I'm going to tell you, I was talking to a young lady one time, and I'm not going to mention the state that she lived in. I was ministering to her, and she, the word that I gave her, that the Lord gave me to give her, that was going to happen in her life and in her family's life, it didn't come to pass in 5 years. So guess what she did? She got on the internet and started blasting me.
Oh, Lord.
Oh.
Then text me and said, you a false prophet. The word you gave to me didn't come to pass. And the Bible said, I said, you know what? I know I heard from God, but if that's what you want to believe, that's your business. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not backing down on what I said, but I'm not going to be talking to you either. Goodbye. You're the weakest link. Anyway. So that was that. 15 years later, guess who shows up? I want to apologize to you. Because the word that you gave me 20 years ago came to pass exactly how you said. My family is financially extremely wealthy, and I just want to apologize because I was wrong. I said, apology accepted. What else could I say?
Amen.
So just because you don't see what the word that you've given somebody come to pass in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20 years, It doesn't mean that you're a false prophet. It's just we are on God's timeline when he sees fit for that word to come to pass. Mm-hmm. In the fullness of time, Jesus came, but how many thousands of years did it take from Genesis until Jesus was born and died on a cross in the New Testament? God said he was going to redeem his people, but it took time. So once you know that you are given a word from the Lord, just give the word. Don't babysit it. Don't keep checking on it to see if it happened yet. You ain't got to do all that. You wasting time. Don't be doing that.
You said don't babysit it, Apostle.
Don't babysit that word.
Don't babysit the word.
No, don't babysit the word that you've given somebody. You don't have to do that. Because what it does, it makes us anxious and it causes them to doubt. It'll cause people to doubt, especially if they're not where they, if they're not mature in the things of the kingdom, they'll begin to doubt because it ain't came to pass yet, okay? All right, and then so another thing is a true prophet will have the ability, now listen to this, to know that the future belongs to God alone.
Yes.
It don't belong to us. It belongs to God because he controls it. It belongs to him. Amen. And then also, when you look at prophets, the oracles come to pass. The future belongs to God. He shares it with us as he will. You know? And then prophets know things. We know that things come only to the extent that God speaks through us. I'm going to say that again. Catch this, everybody. The prophets know, we know that things only come only to the extent that God speaks through us. So that's why it's important for us to wait on God, to have a relationship with God, to know the word, because the enemy can get in there. If you're feeling kind of sad and, you know, despondent or something is going on in your life and it got your emotions in the upheaval, I would not be running around trying to prophesy to nobody. Mm-hmm. Because your emotions are on high, you know, alert. Now, so what do I mean by that? To the extent that God will speak, the extent that God will speak through us. God, when he speaks through us, he's going to give us a certain word of wisdom, knowledge, or whatever he wants to say, he's going to give it through us, and we're not to add on to that. If God says, I'm going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams, do not put in there, I'm going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams, and I'm going to give you this, 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 this. Just say what God said to that extent. Don't add what you want to see that person have. Happen or how. You don't want to add that to that. We don't want to add to or take away. If God says, I'm going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams, and you just said, God says, I'm going to bless you, you left something out. So we want to make sure that we don't leave things out, okay? Look at Jeremiah chapter 18, 5 through 11. Let's see here. I love the book of Jeremiah. You know, I say that about all of them because I love them all. That book of Jeremiah, that'll set you straight. Jeremiah will help you out. Let's see here. Let me pull that up. One second.
You said Jeremiah
18, 5 through 11.
You said 18, 5 through 11?
That's correct.
Okay, I'm going to read this.
Yeah.
It's really good. Okay, it says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. In what instant shall I speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I brought to do unto them. Now, this is deep. This is really deep. And if a nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil and repent of their evil, that I would do unto them, that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant shall I speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that I obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now, therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, everyone, from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. So what was this literally saying? What was this literally saying? Anybody? That prophecy, it was conditional. If you do this, then this is what's going to happen. If you don't do this, this is what's going to happen.
Terms and conditions.
You know, and we cannot, in this day and time, we cannot, how can I say this? God gives us a promise, and then we go all out of space doing all type of foolishness. Now, God, he's a promise keeper. But we can delay our stuff by getting off the path where God has called us to walk down.
Yes.
God says, I want you to go on, walk on Y Street. I want you to walk on that street for 2 miles. But in 0.25 miles, there is another street that look real good. And I'm going to go down that street because I think I need to go down that street. But everything that God promised you was on Y Street. And you don't get to that, those promises, and begin to pick up the things that God has promised you, you got off the path. And then people blame God. Well, God, it's your fault. No, it ain't. It's our fault.
They do verse 12. Verse 12, mm-hmm. when they replied, don't waste your breath. Mm-hmm. We will continue to live as we want to, stubbornly following our own evil desires.
Right.
That's what they do. They want to go their own way, regardless of what the word of the Lord has said. Mm-hmm. They want to do it their own way.
Yep. And we can't do that. We have to do what God has called us to do, not our way, not the way we even think, because, you know, the Bible talks about the fact that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, you know? And so we have to position ourselves to where, Lord, I want the mind of Christ. If I'm going to be speaking as an oracle of God, if I'm going to be speaking or forth telling what you said, I need your mind.
Yeah.
I need the mind of Christ. And how do we get the mind of Christ? We get the mind of Christ when we stay in that word. Because he is his word. Amen.
Amen.
We want to do that. We don't want to be going back and forth, vacillating between two opinions. One day we over here. Next day we over there. Why are we going back? Why do prophets go back and forth? Anybody, why do prophets go back and forth when they know the word? Anybody? Any comments? Why do you think it goes back and forth?
I can tell you from experience, because you know, as you were sharing a lot of things, you know, a lot of word was, there was a lot that I was reflecting on, understanding the reality that prophets are ordained of God and called before they're formed in their mother's womb, as God told Jeremiah.
Right.
And therefore there's a unique relationship that God has with a prophet. There's a very, very unique relationship, and it becomes a love relationship. It's a love relationship. And what happens is, in that love relationship, it has to be developed, and it's going to be developed through tests. It's going to be developed through trial. It's going to be developed by process, to the point where the prophet's allegiance is to God and God only. Amen. Unfortunately, what happens to some, they become consumed with the gift more than the giver. Yes. They're centered on the gift more than the giver. It's not the gift that the prophet needs to be concerned about. It's the relationship they must maintain with the Father. Because mm-hmm. having the right relationship with the Father, what it does, it brings forth and amplifies the gift in you. Okay, because then as a prophet, you're walking in total obedience. Your movement and your release is predicated on the love for the Father. Jesus right. had that relationship. Jesus understood that what he did because it was the Father's will. And because it was the Father's will, Jesus demonstrated how much he loved his Father by obedience. And so understanding when you're called, understanding when you're chosen in this area, because this, and it's really touching me. The ministry that you're releasing is really touching me. And it's refining a lot in me as I'm listening to you from day one. And you got to understand, it's a love affair.
Yeah.
Man, that prophet, that's something, man, about God and a prophet. Mm-hmm. There's something about God and a prophet. It is a love affair that you fall in love and you get to the point to where, man, whatever you tell me, Father, I'm going to do it. I will not divert from this. Now, this is what happens. This is what happens, that when we can fall victim mm-hmm. if we begin to put other things before him. We right. begin to put people before him, and we begin to put the gift and calling before him.
Yep.
The gift and calling cannot be greater than the God that called you to it.
Amen.
It cannot be greater. And this is where we fall by the wayside, because now, and what you talked about earlier in reference, I think it was last week, it's when you start getting attention. Oh, watch out. You start getting attention.
Yep.
People start speaking highly of you.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You got to be reminded. You got to be reminded. It's not you, but the Christ in you.
Amen.
And you must continue to humble yourself, because people drift in their gift, because they begin to get the attention and they begin. Watch this, Apostle Betty. They begin to divert from God's glory. They begin mm-hmm. to divert
yep.
from their purpose of being chosen to bring glory to God. They must understand why they were created. Hmm. They were not created to be seen. They were not be created to recognize. They were not created to be admonished before men. They were created to yes. bring glory to the Father. Mm-hmm. Glory to the Father. And so I remember the call of the prophet, you know, and because I didn't grow up in the church family. And there was something, I said, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And I was a falling in love with this God. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? And then he began to train me in the grace of intercession. And I didn't know that was a part of the development, Apostle Benny. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was part of the development. Mm-hmm. I said, what's going on here? And mm-hmm. he began to slowly groom me,
right.
groom me. I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna cut it so you can step back in there. There is right now, and I'm gonna say it, especially some of my daughters on here right now, mm-hmm. spiritual daughters, because God is getting a hold of them right now.
Amen.
God is getting a hold of you, Veronica. God mm-hmm. is getting a hold of you, CC. God is getting a hold of you. Okay, He's getting a hold of you now, mm-hmm. right now, and it's the love relationship. And what's going on now with me? I'm just having a great time. It's like, let me say this real quick.
Yeah,
I'm having a great time, Apostle, because he's rekindling that first love.
Amen.
He's rekindling that first. He said, do you remember when? Do you remember when we walked together and we talked together and y'all know what I'm talking about? When nothing mattered. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow. And I'm sitting here like, wow. And that's and so it's a beautiful thing. It's like going on your honeymoon. Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Amen.
It's like going on your honeymoon. Oh, we going on a honeymoon. I remember the marriage, man, but we finna go on a honeymoon. And the reason is this, because the Father's telling us, I got work for you to do.
Amen.
I got things for you to do. But your development, watch this, your development is predicated on our relationship.
Yep.
The time you spend with me.
Yep.
You know, and because you got the world that's pulling on you. You got people that are pulling on you. You got systems that are pulling on you, but how faithful will you be? How faithful will you be? How faithful can you maintain? Will you not turn your back on me like some have in
all
the
right.
time of trouble? Mm-hmm. Will you continue to, will you speak my word in the persecution? Will you speak my word when it's not received by many? And this is a relationship that he had with his prophets.
Right.
Come on, come on, Holy Ghost. He had a great relationship. What did he say to Jeremiah, Apostle Allison? before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you.
I knew you.
And before you came forth from the womb, I ordained and sanctified you as a prophet. Man, I'm telling you, it's one of the greatest places to be, guys.
Amen.
Yes.
That, you know, that's very true. And we're going to wrap it up with something that you said. And I'm going to just put it like in a small box here. It ain't about us.
Yes.
It is not about us. It's always been about bringing God's people back to him.
Yes.
It's always been about, even from the Old Testament, every prophet in the Old Testament, it was not about them.
Never.
They were doing things according to the way the Lord wanted them to do it.
Amen.
Whether it hurt or not, they did it. Whether we're understood or not, whether it hurt our feelings or whatever, we go on because, you know, what does the Bible say? God will bind up all our wounds.
Yeah.
He will. Mm-hmm. And so I want to leave with you today as prophets of God, as mouthpiece of the Lord, get out of our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of our own emotions. Get out of, oh, woe is me. Get out of, don't nobody understand. Get out of that, because it's a trick of the enemy to get you so wrapped up in your own feelings that you can't feel, you can't even sense what God is saying because your feelings are in the way.
Mm.
We have to get out of that. He has a word for his people.
Yes.
It's going to be those in this last and evil day. And now I understand what my mama used to say, these last and evil days, baby. I get it now.
Yes.
These are the last days and they're quite evil. But God has given us authority.
Yes.
He's given us the ability to speak to a mountain, watch it be moved, to speak to a situation, watch it change, to speak to families and watch them, you know, come back to the Father, the ministry of reconciliation and all of that. God has given us the ability as prophets to speak forth the word of God and let that word come forth in power, in might, and in demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I have for today. Next week, we'll be talking about, I believe it's Isaiah, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be talking about the prophet Isaiah. I just felt led to go in this direction. But next week, we will be talking about the prophet Isaiah and what he did. If you have your manuals, make sure you go over the manual and even go in there and read about Isaiah. You know, it'll be a really good discussion to have, because anytime we're discussing the word, it's always good. It's always filling. We always need to be full. Yes, go ahead, Pastor Miles.
Greetings, everybody. Thank you, Apostle Allison, for letting me join in this class. I've been missing a couple of weeks. I've been trying to get synced up with it. But just a reminder about the manual. You can send me the manual.
You should have had it. I sent it earlier.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Not a problem. Any other questions or comments that anyone has before we sign off for today?
I had a question. This is Cece.
Mm-hmm.
So let me go back because I did put it just so I can recall.
Mm-hmm.
So Apostle Ron had mentioned just like his process with like how he had to go through intercessory prayer. And so I was just wanting to ask, like, what to expect or what are some of the things that you usually have to walk through? Because I know that I experienced having to learn intercessory prayer and walk that out with the Lord. But there were, like, certain things that I noticed through my walk with, you know, like, discernment, things like that. And so I just wanted a little bit more clarity of like what to expect or things to kind of give you like that awareness that you're going through that process of training or, you know, I guess to say like, you know, like that's what's happening. Like you're beginning to be developed as a prophet.
Part of what happens is as we are developed as prophets, as any of the fivefold gifts, your hunger will grow.
Right.
Your hunger for the things of God, your hunger for prayer, your hunger for the word, your hunger to spend time with him. And as you spend time with him, out of that time spent, you'll begin to see things develop like a life of inner, you know, prayer and interceding. You'll begin to, you may feel that, oh, wow, I want to teach the word. I want to expound on the word. It's a lot of different areas that God may show you during your time of, you know, preparation. And he'll show that to you. And it'll be like a burning. It'll be like a desire within you. Like, I got to do it. I love to teach.
Yes.
Teaching is one of the things I do. And so if that desire is lining up with the word of God, then most likely that is one of the areas that he wants you to develop in. Now, he may or may not. Most times he doesn't show you every area at one time. So right. I will go with the first area that God is dealing with you with and cultivate that in prayer and in the word and, you know, go that route. And God will show you. You'll begin to grow in the area. If you're called to intercession, the more you intercede, the stronger that intercession will become. You know, start up when I, just as an example, when I first, when I wanted to gift of speaking in tongues, okay, and I didn't have, I didn't know where to go get it. I just know I wanted it. The church I attended didn't, you know, they weren't there. It was a teaching church. But anyway, not, you know, taking anything away from them because it was a great place to grow in the word. But I felt the unction. So, eventually, when I went to a church service one day and I got the gift of speaking in tongues, you know, and first it was just like two or three syllables. But the more I used it, the more I spoke in tongues, the more I prayed in tongues, it began to develop. Likewise with what you're saying with, you know, if you feel like God has called you to intercession or teaching or what have you, the more you do it, the more it develops.
You in a class?
Right.
And as it develops, you know, then God will show you more, but he's not going to just dump every single thing on you at one time and overwhelm you. He's going to mature that part. And then, you know, you'll move on. So, because when I first started in ministry, I knew I loved to teach. I knew I loved to study. And so he began to develop that area. Then he began to develop the prophetic area. Then he began to develop the intercession area. Then, you know, so it was a progression. So to answer your question, God will begin to progress you in the areas that he's showing you according to the word of God. I hope that answered your question.
Yes, and it was also very encouraging because sometimes I feel like, am I called to do this or not? You know, I question myself a lot, but I thank you for this.
Not a problem. Go ahead, Apostle Christmas.
It's what I see in the spirit, it's like it's building a house.
Mm.
You have to have that foundation. And once you get the foundation, the other pieces will come.
Yeah.
He'll give you the frame of the house. And then he'll give you the insulation and he'll give you the electrical wires. All of that goes with the frame of the house and the foundation. Mm-hmm. And once you got all that together, once he continues to develop you, then he'll start putting in the windows and then he'll start putting in the doors and he'll give you the light fixtures. But it's not gonna happen all at once. And right. We want it all at once, but we got to have that firm foundation. And then once you get that, then he'll begin to say, okay, she can handle a door now. Mm-hmm. She can handle a window. She can handle a door now because there's two different things and you have a door and then you have to have a door now. But he'll give you piece by piece as he see you can handle it. He's not going to give you a beautiful chandelier if you can't handle a candle. Come on, somebody. Yeah. He's going to give you exactly what you can handle as he begins to build you and elevate you. And you can't go to the second story if you have not mastered the first. Come on, somebody. If you haven't mastered ground level, he's not going to put you on that second story. We might want a two-story house, but everybody can't handle a two-story house.
You're right about that. You get up some stairs.
Come on, the knees ain't right. The feet ain't right. The hunger and the thirsting is not there.
Yeah.
But master that ground level, daughter. You continue to be rooted and grounded in that firm foundation. Amen. And God will give you piece by piece to build your house.
Amen.
And that's what I saw in the spirit. I saw him building you piece by piece. And it's not, don't be anxious for it. Don't be anxious for it.
Yes.
He's going to give it to you piece by piece. You know, sometimes people, they have the, what we call the stick houses. You buy a whole house at this place and all parts of the house is in this package. Mm-hmm. And people just want to unpack the house and just put it up without a firm foundation.
Yeah,
it's going to fall. So you continue to be under your apostle. You continue to be in the word of God and study the word of God and come to things like this to learn to be obedient in the word of God and be wise, be a wise steward in the word of God. And he is building you piece by piece. Just don't be anxious. It's coming. Everything he wants you to have and where he wants you to go, it's all lined up. And you're not going to miss anything. That's why I say, don't be anxious. You're not missing anything. You're right where he wants you to be in this time.
Amen. Wow.
Amen.
That's good. That's good.
That's okay, good. So that's that word that you gave her, Jesus. Prophetic word.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it lined up with the word of God? Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So, as we, God grooms us and grows us to where he wants us to be, everything that a person speaks prophetically is going to line up with the word of God.
Yes.
If we are.
I thought of that scripture right away. Mm-hmm. Sorry. But I thought of that scripture right away of like being anxious of nothing.
Mm. Wow.
That just immediately popped up because I just really like going on myself about like, am I where I need to be at? Am I on the right track? Because sometimes through the process, you get discouraged, you know? And so that's why I'm like, wow, today was great.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, you know, we definitely want you guys to come back next week. And that's Philippians, I believe. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer
and supplication with
thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So this
wasn't that an awesome teaching? We look forward to you tuning in each week for more teachings from Apostle Allison J. Cross, founder of Fire and Rain Ministries. You can follow us on Facebook, Roku, the Fire Stick, Apple TV, iTunes, and more under the Fivefold Network. To contact the ministry, you can reach us at 252-764-5685 or email us at apostleajcross@gmail.com. God bless you and see you next time.